I've been reading a scripture to our people every service for about the last 6 weeks. And it's been connected with the messages that we've heard. But it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. Is there any wonder where we're at? Amen. And why we're here? So we really need these things, and we need the conferences, and we need to submit ourselves to God.
Amen.
James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But if you don't submit yourself to God, the devil will come right in and say, howdy.
Right.
And no fear whatsoever. I just saw, I think Brother Penix has got a tie on. It says, put your armor on. Put all of it on. The whole armor of God, that you might resist the devil and the wiles of the devil. So as we look at these things, and many of them have already been said, but we want to say it again. Brother Dan, my beloved is too.
Amen.
Oh, isn't that something? I mean, to be a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
And to know Him, my beloved is. Oh, a lot of questions. I mean, a lot of things you can put in with that. But I believe in prayer. I believe in miracles. I believe in prayer. I believe in conferences. I believe God's preachers need to come to conferences and get stirred up. And it's just an extra blessing when people come that are not pastors or preachers. If you tell this in the world today, you know that you drive 600 miles to sit in church all day? They'd think you were more than a little balmy. You just really out of it. But what a blessing it is. There's a song that says, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Just almost all the time it causes me to tremble. I mean, I love, and I'm not just saying this to be saying it, but I just love to get that quivery feeling up my backbone, you know, and it goes up into your head. Woo! That's good. We need to. One of the things I'm going to mention today, the Lord willing, is God's people have lost their joy. There's a great lack of joy amongst God. I look at a Sunday morning congregation, you know, and some of them come in. They either come in one of two ways. They look like they've been whipped to come in, or they look like they'd rather be somewhere else. That ought not be.
Amen.
I mean, my beloved is. He says, where you're at, there I am. I come to this conference and to every conference, and I come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night expecting to meet my Lord.
Amen.
He's promised to be there.
Amen.
And so as we think of these things, the Lord has... I just couldn't take enough time to tell you how much He's blessed us. But it's been a kind of a tough year, but you know what? It's given me some new meanings from Scripture, you know. And I appreciate that. But the Lord said that He is faithful who called us. He is. I can tell you He is. You don't have to take my word for it. You can prove it yourself. But I can tell you He's faithful. Lord is faithful and will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able. I know we have different levels, probably, of temptations. The Lord knows every one of them. Isn't that amazing? I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. There's a song that says, put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. I'm not really crazy about that, but I know he holds my hand.
Amen.
And so as we look at these things, we just want you to know how honored I feel to be called to preach. What an awesome responsibility that is. And I want you to know another thing. And I know many of you will argue with me about this, but I got the greatest wife in the world. We were married 55 years this summer. Never once murmurs or complaints. The book of Romans chapter 6, I believe it is. I just wanted to reiterate a thing that's already been said by Randy, I think. Lord has been extra good to me. Called both my sons to the ministry. And I'm just, when I think about it, it just overwhelms me. Oh, wretched man that I am, verse 24. I stand here as sinner saved by God's wonderful, marvelous, matchless grace. And nothing like it. There's so many times that we talk to people and they say, oh, I love the Lord. And then oppose everything about Him and His. Unto Him be glory in the church. Throughout all ages, world without end. And we're to be part of that. If so be that you found that He's gracious and placed you in one of His true New Testament churches, don't get much better than that. I mean, if you really know it and feel it and give Him honor and glory for it, because that's, you know, it says, this little light of mine, you know, that's wrong. He's the light of the world. And He's my light. And we're to let our light so shine. Oh, such a special, wonderful way. Let your light so shine that men see your good works. And what's it do? Glorify God. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. God's eternal purpose is that we would glorify Him. Not be stumbling blocks or anything like that, but that we would glorify Him. So I feel this way many times. Randy said last night, you know, the mixed emotions, so to speak. But, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This old sinful clay. But you know, Paul knew his deliverer. I know mine. I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Amen.
There's nothing else you can think about.
Amen.
He's altogether lovely. He's my beloved is.
Amen.
So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Wow. All right. Turn to Malachi chapter 3 very quickly. We'll be in Malachi and Hosea. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances." We're living that again. It concerns me. In the book of Jude, you don't have to turn to these, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase them, but in the book of Jude it says, when he wrote that, it was needful for him to write to, that we would earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. It's still, and once again, greater need than ever before. We can't do anything, but through Christ we can do all things. And all things are possible through Christ. And that perhaps might be a title for the message, but as you think of these things, I want to look with you the deficiencies of backsliders. You know, we're living 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he said that many in the last days will depart the truth, the faith. I've heard people say, "We just want to feel good." A lot of times the Word of God makes you feel bad.
Amen.
Preacher, you stepped on my toes. No, I didn't. God did. And He's supposed to. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I had a little surgery this summer, but you know what? God's able to do better surgery than that with His Word. And He's going to do something even better than that when He comes on that white horse, and He's going to fight all His enemies with the sword that cometh out of His mouth. Now, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances. And there are multitudes of people in that condition today. But we want to look at a couple things. And we'll look at the book of Hosea in a minute. The ancestral background of these people that he's talking about is clearly recorded in the book of Hosea. The deaf ears on which God's voice fell resulted from tolerated deficiencies. Now that's just a great way of, I mean, a polite way, I guess, of saying tolerance is not the answer to the question. Contending for the faith is the answer to the problems and the question. Now, these tolerated deficiencies will produce an inevitable spiritual decline, which you and I are living today. You say, "Oh boy, my church is just wonderful." Well, I sure think you're a mighty blessed person. Church's supposed to be wonderful. It's supposed to be the one place that you can come into in this world and feel the manifestation of God, and it should be the same yesterday, today, and forever, because God is. And it's His body. You know, I mean, it's to me, that's wonderful. But the ultimate of this spiritual decline is reflected in Hosea, in Malachi's day, today, or any day. It is reflected. And we ought to be aware of it and be contending against it. But it brought great deficiencies. If I regard iniquity in my heart, then the Lord will not hear me. And that's a tremendous deficiency. I mean, if the Lord doesn't hear you, you might as well go home. If you don't hear the Lord, something wrong with you. So these things that I'm going to mention are not, I mean, there's just multitudes of them. You sit down probably in 10 or 15 minutes, make a list of 30 or 40 of these. And they are chain reaction, so to speak. One brings on another and another. They're related. Nobody just gets backslidden in one little way, you know, and still loves the Lord and loves this, that, and the other thing. They're relative. They're contagious. Just like joy is contagious. Happiness is contagious, they tell me, and I believe it is, but the lack of knowledge. Isn't that awful? In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." James 1, he says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Now, wisdom is a little different than knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. But they are related. Second Peter, knowledge is to know is the root word for knowledge. Begins with K-N-O-W. We live in a society that knows everything. Most people know more than the preacher. He's just a poor fellow out there, you know, that he don't know too much, but he's got to do something, you know, so therefore he's a preacher. But my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now hold there in 2 Peter for just a minute. Turn to Romans again, chapter 10. I want to show you this connection of this awesomeness that I feel. Verse 13, 14, and we'll just read 13 and 14 for time, but read this chapter if you have time. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't that wonderful? But there's more to it than that. And he says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" That's an impossibility. "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Amen. Weight of responsibility. Not being funny, but that's a tremendous responsibility. Amen. I learned a long time ago, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you."
Amen.
I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
And that same one holds my hand.
Amen.
So as we look at this, go back to Peter with me, 2 Peter. I read this quite often to our people. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That's amazing. Now, who? My people, not the world. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God, after the salutation here in 2 Peter in verse 3, he says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us," that "us" is a very thrilling word. if you're a child of God.
Amen.
That's the invitation to power. That's the invitation to knowledge. Has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's the way it works. Another mind-boggling revelation from God. To Him who is able. You know, the word grace is kicked around a whole lot. I mean, and I'm not picking on anybody, okay? But the only kind of grace there is sovereign grace.
Amen.
He's the God of all grace. You can't get it anywhere else. And so, as we look at these things and we understand, He says He is able to make all grace abound toward us. That little U.S. in there again. And we, our wonderful scriptures, our wonderful terms in scripture that ought to just thrill our hearts and soul. God is able to make all grace abound unto us that we always, just catch those words, that we, us, always having all sufficiency should abound to every good work. Why in the world aren't we abounding to every good work? So I know we get tired. I know all of these things. But listen, God is able. My God is able to overcome all these things. And so it says, and I just can't say enough about the providence of God. You have He quickened who were dead. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Quickened, made alive. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is God. If it ever was, it is. Still is. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We're quickened by His grace. He says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You know what that is, Brother Jones? That's a willful sin. You know, I have found that almost every, maybe not every, but in almost every situation, sin is willful. You know, I have to work on my wanter, what I want to do. People do what they want to do. Don't give me any excuses. I have people, they must have a list at home they go through, you know, when they tell you why they wasn't there. I really don't want to know why. If you can't be there, that's called providential hindrance, but 99% of the time, providence don't have a thing to do with it. They just didn't want to come. Willful lack of knowledge. I mean, here it is. Preachers teaches Sunday school and preaches a couple times on Sunday and Wednesday night, and they're not there. That's a willful sin and a willful lack of knowledge available to them as God's child. Lack of knowledge. Wow. Then, you know what that produces? That produces a lack of growth.
Amen.
It does. See, if you don't eat, you don't grow.
Right. Amen.
Jesus has a table spread. Come and dine.
Amen.
That's the invitation every Sunday morning. We were talking here, well, it used to be the Lord's Day, and now it's the weekend, you know, and it's whatever people want to do with it. But it's not. So there's a lack of growth. And Hosea 4:16 says, Israel and God's people today slideth back as a backsliding heifer. And we're all prone. We're all susceptible to it. Brings about a lack of dedication. Can't you just think of multiple words you can put in here? A lack of spirituality, a lack of love, a lack of fear, a lack of multitudes of things. But a lack of growth, a lack of dedication. Hosea 4:17, he says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Oh, we have a lot of folks leave a true church and join themselves to an idol. Because of a lack of knowledge. And they don't really enjoy it. They think they're enjoying it. Oh boy, we're doing what we want to do. We go to this, or we have this kind of entertainment or that kind of entertainment, you know. But they are starving to death, and their children are starving to death because they're not being fed by the Holy Spirit of God. I believe when a preacher prepares a message on Sunday morning, that's the message that God wants His people to hear. And if you're not in church, you don't hear the message that God wants you to hear. Amen. We had to discipline a couple men. Well, we're not very big, you know, and it really, really hurts. This one old boy, he wasn't very concerned about it. He says, I can go to church anywhere and starve to death.
Right.
Really?
Amen.
Lack of enjoyment. In Hosea 4:18, he says their drink is sour. Sometimes I think they have a lemonade or something without sugar before they come into the services. And yet, you know, when you talk to them, their attitude is, here I am, preacher. Ain't you glad I'm here? They think they've done you a big favor. And they haven't gotten one little thing from God. And that's where our help cometh from.
Amen.
From the Lord, my beloved. There's a lack of dedication. A lack of will to conform their lives to God.
Amen.
Not conform God to man. Man is put infinite number of hours through his churches and through false religions in order to conform religion to appeal to mankind. Never supposed to be that way, and it never will. So the lack of dedication, he says in Hosea 5:4, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. You gotta put something into it. You gotta plan your week and your days so that you are able to come to God's house when the word is being preached.
Amen.
Amen. Lack of dedication, of lack of humility. Oh, we're proud and boastful people. I'm an American. I'm free. I just like those folks over there in John. It says we've never been under bondage to any man. That'll get in the way of spirituality.
Amen. Amen.
Hosea 5:5 says the pride of Israel doth testify to his face, and it testifies against him. Along with it, it brings about a lack of consideration. They're not concerned about the church or building for the cause of the Lord or contributing. If you don't come to church, I found out time after time after time, and I don't watch people. I'm not a people watcher, but I know one thing. People miss three or four Sundays. You don't see any difference in the offerings. There's something they're not doing. They're not tithing. A lack of consideration for the cause of Christ. You can't have any greater lack than that. More worse than any bodily or vitamin deficiency you can think of. Lack of consideration. And you know what this brings about? Brings about a lack of separation in their life and living. Pretty soon, you know, they'll go home from church, put their britches on, and take Mama out to the mall. Or maybe they'll just go with it without Dad, you know. An abomination unto God. It still is, it was, it is, and it always will be. And a big lack of serious, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. A lack of earnest desire to do what God says. And that's the whole thing in a nutshell when you come down to James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. See, resisting Satan really don't have anything to do with it yet until you submit yourself to God. When you submit yourself to God, you'll have a desire to please Him, you'll have a desire to serve Him, and you'll have a desire to show the world that you love Him. That you love Him. See, let your light so shine. Put your light on the lampstand. People say, you can't show me where I'm supposed to go to church and I'm supposed to do this or that. Oh, I sure can. God's Word tells us where it's at. So as we think about these things, I sum it up with this. The divine diagnosis from the book of Hosea is found in these words. My people are bent to backsliding from me. Hosea 11 and verse 7. Their waywardness. Now listen, if you didn't hear any of the rest, listen to this. Their waywardness commenced with a tendency. And we all have a tendency to sin. We're sinners. We're in this old body of clay, at least. And it began with a tendency, continued with a carelessness, and culminated with a habit, and began being a habitual hypocrisy. And people say, well, it won't. I miss this Sunday. It won't hurt anything. Yeah, it will. You know who it'll hurt worse than anybody else? You. It'll hurt you because you will begin having a deficiency in your life. If I regard iniquity in my heart, and every one of those things are iniquity and associated, if I regard iniquity in my heart, forget praying. The Lord will not hear. Sad, that's a sad state for a child of God. I couldn't pray and expect, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Jerry.